All right, we got plenty to talk about. Text lines are open. Keep texting and calling. We'll take them as we go. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Okay, you know the deal. When I am resourcing the show in the mornings, when I'm getting ready to come in here and elucidate on the topics of the day, and I, you know, the goal of the show is at all times to do what I call the four E's, to educate, enlighten, empower, and entertain you guys on what it means to be a conservative walking around in today's world. Sometimes, though, I look at what's happening at home. It's so easy for us to get stuck in what happens in D.C. It's so easy for us to just forget, though, that what happens here in our backyard can matter just as much, if not more. And when that comes together, and I got a series of news stories, I got to cook up a batch of home fries. Oh, yeah. Sizzling. Sizzling. Cook them up. All right. So let's run down some stories here in the home fries category. First of all, if you are not familiar, I tell you what, JP, I needed something that was not printed out for me. Would you ask Alicia to print out the op-ed that I just sent out? I need that for what I'm about to do. The one that was sent out over the weekend. I've got a story here from AL.com. Alabama is going into legislative session like tomorrow. Well, the state legislature, y'all, when the state legislature goes in, you have no idea how much that really, I mean, I thought I knew how much that impacts our life until I got down there as a state senator myself in Montgomery. And I was literally sort of taken aback by the job that I had just been elected to do, not like in a bad way, like I was like, oh no, I can't do this. I was just like, wow, there's even more than I thought there was. Y'all, it's everything from how much gas tax you pay at the pump to whether or not you're allowed to have Sunday alcohol sales in your community to what are the criminal penalties going to be for this crime or that crime and any crime, and will they make something a crime? And then next thing you know is how do we pay for mental health and who funds the education dollars for your classrooms? All of it. So right now is that time of year. And let me just back up and ask you guys, if I dare to say, I'm going to give you some homework. I want to encourage you to find out who, if you don't already know, who your state house and state senate members are in your neighborhood. Because they're right down the road from you. Like I can tell you right now, the guy who represents the state house district that Charlene and I live in, I drive by his house every day on the way to my house. Just a nice house out in the bend. And then the state senator, the one who replaced me, when I chose not to run again, Andrew Jones came in and he has the county. I know exactly where he lives in Cherokee County, just adjacent to the county I'm in. And we see each other fairly regularly. What I'm saying is get to know who they are. If you don't know who they are, your state legislature, whether you be one of our listeners in Tennessee or you're over in Georgia or you're right here in Alabama or for that matter, even down in Florida, your state legislature, you go to your Secretary of State's website, I guarantee you, they're going to have a place where you can type in your zip code and it's going to take you to who your elected officials are. And then make it a point to meet them. One of the things that I will tell you is you'll probably be shocked how normal they are. Like, sometimes they're disturbingly normal. Like, you know, how did you get dressed in the morning normal? How were you ever able to run your business kind of normal? You know what I'm saying? They're people like you and me. They put their pants on one leg at a time. And these folks, though, they make decisions every day that deal with things that you care about. And they go to your churches, they eat in your restaurants, and they're right down the way from you while you're in the mall. I mean, they're all around you, and you might not even know they're the ones who are passing the laws you have to live with. Get to know them. Even if all you do is just call them up and say, I'd just like to meet you at some point. Could I come by and have a cup of coffee at your office? And they'll probably say, I don't have an office, because they don't. They're just part-timers in the legislature who have a job doing something else. When I sat on the floor of the Alabama Senate, I feel like I'm chasing a rabbit right now, but I think it's important for me to convey to you how normal and approachable these people really are. When I was in the Alabama Senate, there I am. I'm an attorney. I'm sitting, you know, in my seat on the floor of the Senate. To my right, I'm picturing where everybody was. To my right was a retired teacher. To my left was a retired Marine. To his left was a guy who owned a small barbecue restaurant in Huntsville. Right in front of me was a dentist. The guy to his right was a farmer, and the guy to the left was an ophthalmologist. I mean, they're just people. They're just folks. They got the same backgrounds. Everything was in our legislature. Every kind of business. Some of them were public. Some of them were actually like the guy who was a retired teacher sat next to me, Rusty Glover. Great guy. Love Rusty. One of the most conservative members of the Senate. Just a dynamic, strong, principled individual. And he was actually still teaching for much of the time that we were sitting next to each other. He retired, I think, in the last year we were together in the Senate. All that to say, y'all, they're normal people, but they have a very abnormal job, and they pass laws that you and I care about at your state level, because your state code, your state taxes, your state constitution, I mean, are you for or against the lottery? It happens in Montgomery. Are you for or against the gas tax? It happens in Montgomery. Are you for or against paying more for Medicaid or expanding Medicaid? It happens down in Montgomery. Are you for or against school choice? It happens down in Montgomery. Are you for or against a hotel lodging tax? Happens down in Montgomery. All this stuff. I can't even begin to describe how much goes through that statehouse. I'm going to talk about it in more detail. I'm going to take a real quick phone call from Brian from Huntsville. I realized he was just on the line, so let me grab that real quick. Hey, Brian, how you doing, buddy?
Doing mighty fine, and you can prime that early, too, if you attend your school meetings, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You can go to those, and you can go to your county commissioners, because a lot of those are looking to go up in office. You can foster a relationship right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Early in the thing. And, oh, by the way, as far as the chicken tenders goes, let's say Blank the Sailor Man's chicken has some unbreaded blackened chicken tenders that are phenomenal.
Oh, okay. So you're heading
absolutely
down.
Wonderful.
I got you. Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Have a good one. Goodbye.
He's right. There are any number of opportunities. They always come to school functions, local. They're at the fair. You know, they're walking around shaking hands and glad-handing at the football games on Friday night, and they do it on purpose. I did it all the time. For 8 years, I was in the Senate, and that was my favorite part, was being out among folks. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now while JP figures out where he's getting those chicken tenders. We'll come right back.
I'll find a way.
I'm in a batch of home fries right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades. So, talking about some home fries, right? Cook me up some home fries, JP. Hit me some home fries. Sizzle them. Cook them up. Cook them up. All right, so we're talking about stuff that happens around home, right? So, first of all, just know this. I can especially speak to Alabama, Tennessee, Florida. Our state legislatures have a Republican supermajority. That means that basically they own their own destiny, right? They control their own destiny. They can pass anything they want to. And if they don't pass it, it's because they don't want to. So when you see really, really bad bills still passing, it happened with Republicans choosing to do so. When you see really, really good bills passing, it's because Republicans decided to do it. There are very few things right now that require Democrat approval for bipartisan legislation. I'm not against bipartisan legislation. I'm just telling you that right now, the Republican supermajorities in Florida, Tennessee, and Alabama have so much of a supermajority that the Democrats have almost rendered themselves irrelevant on the floor of the House and Senate. I mean, I think right now, out of 35 Alabama state senators, I want to say there's only 6 Democrats. That's amazing, especially when you consider that when I got elected in 2010, we came in and created the very first ever supermajority for Republicans. And so I'm just telling you, it's like they can do whatever they want to do. Well, in Florida right now, the governor called them in and to a special session just on illegal immigration at the state level. So yeah, state legislatures can fight for illegal immigration laws. And what did they do? They came in and started squabbling among themselves. You had factions that set themselves up. You got there's Republicans down there that can't stand DeSantis. And they actually chose not to pass his proposed legislation. They chose to pass one of their own that was weaker. In fact, inexplicably, they chose to give immigration enforcement to the Department of Agriculture in Florida and not to the governor who controls state troopers. It just, in the National Guard. It makes no sense whatsoever to me. But it's a Florida Republican supermajority squandering an opportunity. And y'all, I'm going to tell you right now, I know for a fact, I said this in my op-ed that came out this morning. It came out on 1819 News this morning. It'll come out throughout the region over the next week or so. But I said that I've seen firsthand that a really solid plan worked by a state House and Senate can do great things, and they can also screw things up. Florida screwed up on that one. In Tennessee, though, they had a high point. Those of you listeners on WGOW out of Chattanooga right now, listen, how about praise to the Republican supermajority in Tennessee? They got into special session at the call of Governor Bill Lee, and they just passed a very comprehensive school choice bill. Awesome. Awesome. Comprehensive school choice in Tennessee. The Education Freedom Act. They joined states like Alabama that did that last year, the Choose Act in Alabama. So the Education Freedom Act, I mean, that's a big deal, y'all. And I'm telling you right now, why would they not? Because they have the winds at their back. Now, in Alabama, we go into session tomorrow. The regular session of the Alabama legislature starts tomorrow. And there's all the talk about, are they going to get into gambling again? Are they going to do gambling one more time? Are they going to do it for the umpteenth time? Are they really going to waste time doing that? The prevailing wisdom is right now that they won't. They don't think they have the votes. They got really burned on it last year. And when they got burned last year, part of it was they left really good stuff on the table. They had an easy layup bill like the What is a Woman Act that says that the Alabama state code will for hereafter define man and woman biologically from birth, period. It shouldn't have to be necessary, but apparently it is. The What is a Woman Act just languished. They had a simple bill to activate porn filters to protect children on the phones that they carry around in their hands. It died on the vine because they were too busy deciding whether to expand casino operations. Have they read the room? Listen, there's a whole lot going on right now, and they've got a mandate. They can do anything they want to, Republican supermajority. I'll tell you more about it in a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.
Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Meatloaf Monday. Especially those of y'all that are joining us for the very first time today in WANI out of Auburn Opelika region, 1400 AM, 98.7 FM. Oh, by the way, we're also in Chattanooga, WGOW up yonder. And then, of course, we're always on our Huntsville affiliate, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Glad to be with all of yous. I got a call on the line, and I will take that before I dive back into my materials. Sparky from Harvest. Hey, man, how you doing?
Hey, good. Good first hour.
Thanks, man.
I'm amazed at the Democrats after what they went through in November. They could look forward to winning if they would do probably two things ever again.
What's that?
Number one, let the Democrat voters actually pick their presidential candidate instead of, you know, DNC backroom cronies.
Hey, that's asking a lot, man.
And then get behind the things Trump is doing that's going to help everybody and help all Americans, including Democrats, get behind it, be able to take some credit for the success. They can't do it. They just picked a new DNC chair who's a radical socialist,
yeah.
And David Hogg, if you hadn't seen that.
Who's a nut.
The new, whatever you call it, deputy chair of the DNC, this guy who pretended that he was in danger at a school shooting. a couple seasons ago.
Yeah.
And he's a rabid liberal socialist, anti-gun, anti-conservative, anti-everything I think you and I stand for. I'm like, how can you double down on stupid like that? I mean, it's amazing to me.
Well, it's exactly what they've done. And I don't know if you saw any clips of the selection process, but they even at one point had to go back and recalibrate their vote because they didn't have any non-binaries in the running, and they had to correct that. And I'm like, they don't know why they lost. Look at why they lost. Here we are.
Well, they're headed down the same road again, and the current Democrat leadership complaining bitterly about everything Trump is doing at a rapid pace to make the border secure and stop the fentanyl.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But yeah. Hey, keep it up, guys. Keep
all
it
right.
up. I look forward to it.
It's exactly right. Majority. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate you, man. See you. Hey, back on this home fries segment that I'm doing right now. So I went to AL.com. Phil, did you go to AL.com? I did. I got to shield y'all from some of the pain. So I went and took some of the hits myself. I went to AL.com. But they've got an article that came out today, actually. Lawmakers target crime in 2025 legislative session. Okay, we'll see. But so what are they saying? Right now what they're saying is that Governor Ivey is set to make this part of her top priorities for her legislative agenda in her State of the State address tomorrow night. So if you're not familiar, every year when the legislative session kicks off, on the evening of day one, the governor addresses the state and does her State of the State address. Lays out what she's thankful for, lays out what she's hoping for, lays out what her agenda is, and basically tries to set a tone. I have really not seen the governor's office carry a lot of weight in that regard in the last couple of years. So we'll see how she does tomorrow night. But Governor Ivey is set to give her State of the State address tomorrow night, with crime being one of the things she wants to seriously address. And rightfully so. I mean, look at the numbers, man. Birmingham ended up with 151 homicides. That's almost a 100-year record. Montgomery saw a surge in crime, too. But Montgomery kind of, I'll be honest with you, I got to give props. Montgomery decided to go ahead and help form a state and local collaborative effort called the Metro Area Crime Suppression Unit, MACS, and they are apparently doing a pretty good bit. But right now, you got, once again, Republicans saying, well, we're going to have a plan, but we haven't announced it yet. This is the day before the session, and we have not seen a true legislative agenda. Now, we have seen a set of principles from the House, but they have not labeled what, in fact, they specifically said, we have not yet determined what bills will fall within those principles. Principles are hugely important. Principles guide things. But could you tell us, please, what bills you're going to try and pass to go with them? In fact, they even said in the article that I read from 1819 News last week, I think it was Friday, that, by the way, at the end of the session, they'll tell us what bills they passed that fit into the principles. I'm like, after the fact, fellas? Anyway, we'll see. I do know this. State Senator Garland Gudger from Cullman, who is slated to be voted in as the new pro tem of the Senate tomorrow, he announced that illegal immigration is going to be addressed by the state legislature. We'll see. I'm hearing nothing out of Speaker Ledbetter on that, but just the pro tem. So are they going to? I don't know. Why would they not? Why would they not? Here's something else. Last week, Home Fries pulled this off of 1819 News. You may recall that people were kind of surprised to hear that we have a charter school in Alabama, in Birmingham, which, by the way, if something like this is going to be anywhere in the state, it's going to be in Birmingham. It's the Magic City Acceptance Academy. It's a public charter school catering to LGBTQ students. What? Yes. I don't know how this happened. I still look at this and I am shocked and amazed. How in the world in Red State, Alabama, did we see the State Department of Education approve a charter school aimed at a demographic, much less a demographic that always has controversy attached to it? Like, for instance, if somebody said, we would like to pass a white-only school, how would that go over? Even if they wanted to pass one as a black-only school, how would that go over? No. How about nada? We don't do that. That's called racially profiling students. And yet, you can have a Magic City Acceptance Academy paid for with public dollars that caters to one demographic, in this case, professing gay students. Wow. Anyway, That school is in the crosshairs, according to State Senator Arthur Orr, who is the education budget chairman for the state of Alabama. He said it's in the crosshairs because they refuse to take down their DEI platform. It's still up. Right now, the Magic City Acceptance Academy says DEI is still the way forward for them. DEI is still in their handbook. DEI is still on their website. And so Senator Orr is saying it's boiled over to where we can't ignore it, and I predict we're going to take some form of action against them in the 25 session. Okay. All right. In the realm of missed opportunities in the home fries, Birmingham. I love Birmingham, by the way. Did a lot of my growing up there. I say this, Charlene says, you always say that. It's because it's true. I don't want people to think I'm bashing Birmingham like I could care less. I love the city of Birmingham. I love the Birmingham region. I did a lot of my growing up there. I mean, running barefoot through West Birmingham, which are places that are just in urban decay now. Inslee, Wylam, all that area. Granddaddy was a steel worker, the whole thing. But the Birmingham Board of Education is a cesspool. The Birmingham Board of Education and the Birmingham Waterworks Board, if you had to find two organizations that seem to always screw it up, well, there's a Birmingham City Council, too. How about Birmingham governance? Anyway, Birmingham Board of Education has decided, once again, they just don't want that Alabama Aerospace and Aviation High School. And I look at it and go, why? Why would you not? It's paid for. It's working. It's got a great charter. They've got 200 students right now. They're graduating their first class coming up in May of this year. Three of their students already have their pilot's license. Several others got their aircraft maintenance certification. They're coming out of high school with like certification in aerospace that most kids wouldn't get until after they'd spent like 6 years in the Army or something. So it's a free public charter school, already has its charter, gone through the processes, and they're located in Bessemer because Birmingham won't take them, but they're running out of room at their current site because more folks want to be in, and they asked again, would Birmingham please take them in? And they said no. I cannot understand. Yellowhammer News has a story. Came out over the weekend. Says the school is rapidly reaching capacity with approximately 200 students. Despite the growing enrollment and soon-to-be-graduated students, the Birmingham School Board still has objections to its application. CBS 42 reported the school system cited its objections from neighbors and board members as the reason why the request was denied. No, it's not. Here's what it is. The Birmingham School Board is controlled by the teachers' union. They don't want anything that looks outside of the status quo. Period. Unless it's a Magic City Acceptance Academy for LGBTQ students. And then they're all in. So let me get this straight. Birmingham can have a charter school for gay students with drag queens doing fundraisers for the students, which they did. It's in the news. Go look it up. They can have an entire school designed to be a, quote, safe place for the education of LGBTQ students, which does nothing for them in the future. But another school, a charter school, already approved, that teaches kids about aerospace and gives them a certification or a pilot's license and takes them to new levels for professionalism past post-high school, and they don't want it. Make that make sense, JP. You can't.
Well, hey, the mayor may suck, but did you see he had a cool outfit on Al Sharpton's day? Did you see that?
Did he?
He has that going for him, so.
Pray tell, what was his ensemble that he wore on the Al Sharpton show?
He wore a black shirt with a cool-looking blue dress coat. It looked pretty nice.
Was it one of his legalized marijuana T-shirts?
No, not that one.
Do you know if he had tennis shoes on with his suit like he usually does?
I assumed he had some sick kicks under the table.
Oh, man, yeah. Some gold kids or something.
While he was claiming that Birmingham had their doors wide open for illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
And how they weren't cooperating with DHS to get them out. But other than that, he looked pretty cool.
Yeah. He's the bae. Yeah. He's it. He's the one. He's the cool. Anyway, no. All right, we're taking a break. I'm going to come right back, and I will finish up with home fries. I got a little more about what happened with that racy kind of Make America Great Again protest billboard with the museum down in Montgomery. I'll tell you all about it. And then, yeah, did you see the one about the young conservatives? But they're all racist, according to, you know, the New Yorker magazine. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, so we're finishing this segment up on home fries. Cook me up some home fries, JP. Cook me up some home fries. Right. There you go. Just cook them up. Smell them. All right, Yellowhammer News has a piece. I don't know if y'all saw this. Did you see, JP, about the cruel kids table? The young conservatives who partied at the inauguration.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, it was a beautiful picture of beautiful kids, and just all hanging out having a big time, except it was racist, and no one realized how racist it was until the New York Magazine decided to point it out. So New York Magazine story here on Yellowhammer took a private gathering of young conservatives in Washington, D.C., and a picture that was taken kind of from overhead looking down on the crowd, having a great time. I mean, everybody was all lit up and having a big time. Lit up sounds awful. They were having a big time.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. And one of them was a Mountain Brook native, Anna Claire Howland, and she was like this strikingly pretty young lady sitting in the middle of the crowd and having a big time with everybody else. And they were called elitist, exclusionary, conservative youngsters, basically. Because there weren't any white people in the picture, except, have you seen the full picture?
Yeah, they cropped out the.
They cropped it.
They cropped out black people.
There were multiple black people in the crowd. Oh, by the way, the whole party was hosted by C.J. Pearson,
yeah,
who's a dynamic young conservative black guy who goes to the University of Alabama.
I did see that they purposely zoomed in to crop all the black people out of
the
picture.
Just crap.
And you wonder why people don't trust media anymore.
New York Magazine. Anyway, so it's flipping on them. I mean, because the people who were there are like, hey, look, I'm a black guy and I work for Turning Point USA, had a big time at the party. How come y'all are feeling this way? Anyway, all said and done, it's covered up with Alabama folks, C.J. Pearson, Anna Claire Howland, a whole bunch of others. And it was big doings, and it's the next generation of conservatives, and all they can do is find racism by cropping the picture to make it fit their narrative. How awful is that? Where's their journalistic ethics? I hope that somebody's... It's one thing for us to call them out on social media or me sit here and do it on Right Side Radio. They deserve to be excoriated in some way by, I don't know, who is it? The National Press Association or somebody's got to have some say.
Well, I mean, J.D. Vance even tweeted about it. So
yeah,
it's getting the... I mean, they're getting hammered in the realm of public opinion, but yeah, I agree.
All right, I went to AL.com twice. Phil, did you go to AL.com twice? I did.
Do you need to go, like, take a bath or something?
I feel like I need a shower, yes, with some lye soap. All right, so, oh, that's, like, good. Lye soap, get it? Lies, the lies. I went lye soap. Okay, that's nice. That lye soap, man, that old stuff will take your skin off, let me just tell you. Remember last week we talked about the billboard down in Montgomery? So if you're not familiar, there was a billboard that showed up in multiple places around the state capitol in Montgomery. Had a picture of, it's a classic photograph of the Bloody Sunday civil rights march where black protesters were being confronted by armed police. And it's part of history. But it's not part of the Trump administration. And yet this billboard came out with that image and the words Make America Great Again slapped over the top of it and the logo, oh, by the way, of the Montgomery Arts Museum. Okay, as Montgomery Museum of Fine Arts. I'm sorry, I said the name wrong. Well, now the people who put it up are mad because it got taken down. It's censorship. They're calling it public art. It was public art. You should have taken it down. It was our chance to speak out, talk about Trump. No, it wasn't. No, it's purely political. Absolutely political. It's also asinine. All right, last story I got on the home fries section. I think that almost everywhere we have an affiliate station and a lot of listeners, Church of the Highlands is got a campus. And so that's where the lovely Charlene and I have been going to church now for, gosh, since 2009, I think, Church of the Highlands. JP, I know you've been visiting there since you moved to the Gadsden area. Church of the Highlands just announced yesterday that the founding pastor, Chris Hodges, who's a great guy, who is a dynamic leader, who has, listen, that church has, I mean, it's only 24 years old. Yesterday was the anniversary, 24 years. Look at where they are. They have a fully accredited, massive university now. They've got multiple campuses in 26 different cities around the Southeast, and they're in all 28 of the Alabama correctional facilities doing live services now every Sunday. It's amazing. They have a weekly attendance of 60,000 people among all their campuses. Well, Chris Hodges announced yesterday that he is stepping down as the founding pastor, and he will be listed. I think he's going to be, what was his title going to be? Do you remember, JP? Is his title going to be founding pastor?
Yeah, founding pastor is what he said.
Yeah, and then senior pastor is going to be Mark Pettis, who's been the dean of the college. So anyway, I brought that story up. I pulled the piece off 1819 News, but we were there yesterday to actually hear the announcement. And that's one of the biggest churches in the entire United States now, having a massive impact on the state of Alabama and Georgia, going through a change in leadership, but they handled it so graciously well. He's not leaving. He's just transitioning because he recognizes there's a time for new blood. He does not want it to get stale, and he feels called by God to spend more time with the students at the college. All amazing. All right, we're switching gears. We come back. It's America First. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.